Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this day, which is the 4th of June, and we're very happy to have you for this lockbox edition of the roundtable panel. I want to tell you a little story about this. So for 26 years, we've been doing this show, and for 25 years, we never had a panel during the fund drive, and because we didn't feel like we could afford to lose the real estate, the time to get the money, and we didn't want to extend the drive longer than we had to. So then cooler heads prevailed last year. And we the thought was, well, I don't know if you've noticed, and I apologize if you haven't noticed, but the world is turbulent, and we felt that it was important for us to touch base with our panelists and our listeners, and to give you an hour panel, which is yes less than it normally is, but that we still would be able to check in and talk about the issues of the day. All of this done on the with the hope that people would support it and we could make money while we were doing it, so we weren't really losing time on the air and doing that. For the most part, that's working pretty good. Please do not take this as a threat. All I'm saying is that we have to keep that going if we are going to continue with these broadcasts, because it's the only time during the day that we're giving like a full hour to a show, and we want to make sure that it's because otherwise we could be here for a month. So we're going to do it now. The good news is that. We've made our goals pretty much every day this week. I think every day this week, we've asked for money, and we've gotten it. So you're doing great. You're doing fantastic, and we thank you very, 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 very much for that. Now, two things. One, Ray and Andrew and the team made the goal. They brought in $15,000, unlocked a $15,000 match from the Barkless Dogs of Woodstock. And I don't know if you've ever seen them at Bethel Woods, but my God, are they good. They're just great. It's a quiet show, but it's good. It's really, really... I don't know what the hell. Anyway.
You explain that.
Yeah, very, very nice. So now we have 50 minutes, and we have 50 minutes together. And we have a one-for-one $5,000 match. A one-for-one $5,000 match. So that means that we need to be at the $785,425 point, and we will make $5,000, which will bring us to $790. See how cool that is? 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Now, I'm going to write this down because otherwise I will forget, because it is a number and I don't remember those. 1-800-323-9262. So basically, we need to make $5,000, and we have until 10 o'clock this morning to do it. And we ask you, we beg you, we beseech you, we do all of that to make sure that we make the money for the roundtable and the roundtable panel. Now, just to show off, we have a hell of a panel today. Let me introduce them, and we'll get right into the topics at hand. While you pledge at 1-800-323-9262 or online at wamc.org, wamc.org. Bob Brigham is here, professor of history and international relations at Vassar College, a specialist on the history of U.S. foreign policy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. Always good to be here. And let me join you in encouraging listeners, if you're listening, you're taking part in what this station has to offer. This is democracy in action. So please make a pledge.
Thank you very much. It is democracy in action. I mean, it really is, and it's a way of us all coming together and showing, and also while so many and I can't wait to hear Judy talk about this, but while so many outlets are going away, news outlets are going away, we've always had this model of the public funding us, and yes, there was government funding. That's gone, so that leaves us, and we can do this if we all come together to do it.
Hey, there's no paywall either,
right?
And so it doesn't matter how much money you contribute. It doesn't matter if you contribute anything. You can have access to the local news that WAMC provides. I'm here today also to record the Media Project, which airs Friday and Sunday, and we never get to ask for money on the Media Project. So if you're out there listening and you love the Media Project, or if you are worried about what's happening at CBS, for example, and you want to support independent media, here's your opportunity.
I said this the other day on the air. I said I wanted a poster of Scott Pelley for my wall. and a listener called me and said, are you serious? Because I can get you one. I said, I am dead serious. Cool. Yeah. All right. So Judy Patrick is here, former vice president for editorial development at the New York Press Association, longtime editor of the Daily Gazette. With that newspaper, when did you retire?
Man, it was at least 10 years ago, 10, 15
really?
Years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Man. I wish I didn't ask that question.
But it probably doesn't feel like a day like retirement.
Man. Yeah. And Donna Welton joins us, diplomat in residence at Bard College, retired from the U.S. Foreign Service in 2025. She knows when she retired. And after 30 years in public service, her last post was ambassador to the Southeastern Asian country, Southeast Asian country, Timor-Leste.
Yeah.
Good morning. How
Good
are you?
Good morning. I've seen countries around the world, and one of the things that keeps them vibrant and democratic is the free press. So I do encourage people to call in. This is a unique station and a unique mission, and we should support it.
Well, we certainly thank you. Thank you all for your words of encouragement. We ask you to help us in this dollar-for-dollar match. $5,000, up to $5,000. So we want to get to the 780-425 point in the drive. And, we're starting at 780. And that will get us to 785. And then that will bring in and we'll be at 790 by the time we are done. That's the plan. And so let's not screw that up. We welcome you, panel, at WAMC.org, if you'd like to check in on any of the topics that we are going to discuss this morning, and we have a lot to talk about. Let us begin with the House vote on the Iran war. Well. The House on Wednesday voted to direct President Trump to withdraw U.S. forces from the conflict with Iran or win approval from Congress to continue the war. After four Republicans sided with Democrats in a striking sign of growing opposition to a military campaign now in its fourth month. Adoption of the resolution was a remarkable rebuke to Mr. Trump and his handling of the conflict after he has repeatedly dismissed any effort by Congress to curb his power and as the GOP has largely ceded its prerogatives to do so, deferring to him time and time again. Republicans had abruptly postponed the vote 2 weeks ago, recognizing that they didn't have the votes to defeat the measure and wanting to spare themselves and the president the affront. But they made no headway over the ensuing days in winning converts as the conflict has dragged on and Mr. Trump has made little progress toward ending it. I would add to the coverage that I'm reading in the New York Times, also, just this back and forth and great confusion, I think, sown by the administration that was very difficult to keep track of, even for lawmakers to know exactly what was going on. GOP leaders were unable to delay the vote any longer because Democrats had invoked the War Powers Resolution, which requires consideration of such matters within a limited period of time. The move, also the latest reflection of divisions between Republicans in Congress and the president on a range of issues as their interests diverge in the run-up to the midterm. they're only in Midtown. Don't go into the villages. You'll be up to the midterm congressional elections. It came after Senate Republicans have in recent days forced Mr. Trump to abandon his request for $1 billion in security funding for his ballroom project, and a plan that the Justice Department announced to create a federal fund to pay claimants who accuse the government of having victimized them. Let's start with Bob Brigham.
So there's a lot to unpack here, Joe. This is dead in the water. It's not going to pass in the Senate, and you need a joint resolution to get to the president's desk to have any chance of this having any meaning, because if it's a concurrent resolution, it has no teeth. The Supreme Court ruled on that in 1983 during the Reagan years that concurrent resolutions would not carry the same weight as a joint resolution when it came to the War Powers Act. But even though this won't pass the Senate and it won't end up on Trump's desk, it is highly psychological and symbolic. This is a rebuke of the administration. This is further proof that Mike Johnson does not have control of his House, he doesn't know how to bring votes forward, doesn't know how to count votes. But there's also some things here, I think, that are historical that will play out over the long run. We have to remember that the War Powers Act was only passed after the repeal of the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which gave Presidents Johnson and Nixon a blank check to fight in Vietnam. They repealed that, but the exchange that Nixon signed into law was that they would repeal the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution as long as Congress passed the Foreign Assistance Bill, which actually increased military aid to South Vietnam. So from its beginning, this has always been a flawed War Powers Act. It does have to get a president's signature. So the president, every single president has always wanted to get rid of the War Powers Act. They think it's unconstitutional. They've challenged it on every front. And the president has a veto over it, which is the way this constitutional power works. But it's problematic because rarely, only in two instances, has Congress been able to override a presidential veto on a War Powers Act.
And he wouldn't be able to veto this because it doesn't have the votes, right?
Two-thirds.
They're just not there. And the other thing I think it shows us today is just how divisive politics are. One of the leading proponents of the War Powers Resolution was Senator Jacob Javits of New York, a Republican. Republicans and Democrats came together to pass the original War Powers Resolution, and so you just aren't going to see that kind of thing today. I do think, though, it does spell trouble when you add up all the other things that Trump is doing that we'll probably talk about when we talk about his compensation fund.
Yeah.
These are all bad political moves. He's getting played here, and that's not something that he's used to.
Getting played, but he started it, right?
He started it, and this is a bet of his own making.
He's not in control
of it, and he's not in control of the politics or the optics on this. And even though this is, like I've already suggested, this is highly symbolic because it's not going anywhere. The Senate will probably not pass it. He would veto it. They can't override the veto. But it does, to the average person on the street, say Congress isn't so enthusiastic about this war that seems to have no end.
I will say that my understanding, too, and I have heard less about this, and I don't want to focus a lot on it just because we have limited time and we can take this on in another day. But even without the fund, the 1776 fund, we still have this idea of his immunity of any taxes and the IRS, which is still a part of this now shambled piece of legislation. So I assume that will be worked on as well in the future, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Donna.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly Bob's overview is important, and I would just say that at this stage in a protracted conflict, war, whatever, If you don't have the executive branch and the commander in chief, particularly making a strong case for what interests are being protected by putting people in harm's way, and I'm saying that broadly because you're not just military members, but people's pocketbooks are in harm's way because of these choices and actions, that it's only going to bubble up more. And it's interesting that, of course, the vote difference in the House were the four Republicans who aren't
right
up for re-election now.
Yes. And that tells you a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you think John Fetterman is going to vote in the Senate?
Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
There's a D next to his name.
You know, I love all these Republicans finding their courage after the battle is over or after they have no stake. I mean, true courage is to do something courageous when the odds are against you. The president was posting this morning on social media that this was a meaningless vote. It may be true, but there is symbolism there. That's very important. And all these votes are going to come back to haunt people going forward. I mean, these guys think they skated through this. And if you remember the Iraq war votes elected official
back.
Took, people remember those.
So where are we? In the sense of if this goes to the Senate, then we could still have troops there and keep fighting, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Trump administration's challenging the very notion that their 60 days is up because they think the ceasefire stopped the clock. That's not constitutionally
accurate. Wait a minute. Marco Rubio said it was over yesterday or the day before. He says this war's done.
And that's what a Secretary
Magical
of State
thinking.
Can say. Yeah, but there are rules of this, and they are clearly.
He also says he never saw the president sleep, and there's like a picture of him with the president drooling on his shoulder. But that's another story. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is just part of the amateur hour of this administration in foreign policy.
I don't know. I know this is a naive question, but it doesn't have to be amateur hour, right? I mean, it could actually be thought of as that God forbid we take the administration takes this seriously. It doesn't seem to me. I guess I'm cynical enough to think that an action like this by the House and the Senate isn't going to change the calculations of the Defense Department or of the White House, right? They'll continue to do what they do.
You are making the presumption that there's serious, straightforward strategic calculation in their actions. You know, I think
I just want that.
Yeah, I wish that was true. I mean, in a very broad, big way. And Bob and Judy, chime in on this. There is a sense that this administration would like to. And in the previous administration, they tried to as well redo the power dynamic in the Middle East, and by trying to get the Gulf states to align with Israel and a now even broader number of nations to recognize Israel, to try to find some sort of economic stability. For that region. And Iran, and what they've done is they have redone the power dynamics, but they've raised the profile and power of Iran now and put in a regime that is far more competent in working with in the region than had been before.
We started needing $5,000 when we began the program. We now need $3,500 to make our goal. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262.
But, Joe, we've only got 30 minutes.
I know. We have 30 minutes.
Yeah. Stop listening to us.
33 minutes, actually. But I will say one of the things is that I alluded to this earlier about the back and forth. You know, we're near an agreement. We're near an agreement. Now we're going to bomb them into submission, and then we're in an agreement, and blah 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 blah. And we go back and forth, and we go back and forth, and so we can't keep any. You know, we don't we don't know what's going on there. I don't know that anyone does. And then not only that, but you have this case made of how important all this is, how important this is. We can't have a nuclear weapon. This is of utmost importance. This is the most important thing we're doing. And we thought we could go in there and we could do this in a matter of days. And now the two things that brought sweat to the center of my back was, one, the president saying, well, I don't really care what they do. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Okay, that's concerning. Two is that not only do you say that you don't care, but then you start bringing up other conflicts. Like, well, look, we're not in a hurry. Like, look at Vietnam. Look how long that was. Look at Afghanistan. Look at Iraq. Yeah. Well, that's not a good benchmark, but it also goes in direct conflict to what you've been saying all along, that it would not become one of those conflicts.
Yeah, it won't become one of those conflicts. I mean, the size and scale and scope of this is just not there yet, and it won't become one of those conflicts because in Vietnam, for example, it took us 6 years to get to this point economically, where the Johnson administration was facing limited economic growth and high inflation, and we're starting to have to pay for having 500,000 troops on the ground. Well, we don't have anybody on the ground yet, but it is coming
in Iran.
In Iran, it is coming at a cost. And what the Trump administration—I mean, who would evoke those?
20 seconds.
Who would evoke those things as justification of your foreign policy? That just shows you where we are.
We will come back and discuss this some more. We welcome you, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We are $3,400 away to making our goal and maximizing the one-for-one match from Anonymous of Socrates. Get in now, WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Bob Brigham, Judy Patrick, and Donna Welton make up the panel this morning. And we are very happy to have you with us as well. As we began this morning, we had a challenge. We have a challenge from Anonymous, from Socrates. We were at $780,425. And currently, right now, which also is currently, we are at $782,601. So when I will, they trust me with a calculator every once in a while. And that currently means that we need $2,824. And we have 26 minutes to do it. So we remain confident. We have made these every day this week. We will continue to make them today, I am sure, because of you and your love of this radio station and your knowledge of how important all of this is. We get to talk to these experts about these very important topics because it is supported, and we want to keep it that way. 1-800-323-9262. A one-for-one match. Anonymous from Socrates, up to $5,000, and right now $2,824 to go to get every penny. All right, even though we don't have those anymore, but you know what I mean. What's anything else on war powers? Anybody else want to jump in on that topic? All right, let's now move on to the payout fund. So we heard from Todd Blanche earlier this week, who said definitively that the fund is dead. The fund is dead. The $1.8 billion payout fund, dead in the water. And this comes after the court ruling. This comes after a lot of negative press and great consternation within the Republican Party as well, of course, as the Democratic Party. So yesterday, for the first time, the president had a chance to talk about this, having plenty of time to come up with a good, solid excuse, and said, well, I'm going to have to ask the lawyers. I don't really know yet. It could be dead. It could be on hold. I don't know. All right. The president's vaguer response is likely to roil Republican lawmakers, many of whom are sharply opposed to the fund and presented the White House to pressure the White House to abandon it by threatening to derail a $72 billion immigration enforcement package, funding package that Trump badly wants. After Blanche's assurances that the fund was dead, all Senate Republicans voted to move forward on the budget package, which advanced 53-46 along party lines yesterday. Even so, many Democrats and some Republicans said they wanted assurances at the administration. They want formal assurance, they say, that the administration had dropped any intention of creating such a fund. And several said they would introduce amendments to the immigration bill, officially killing the idea. When asked why he dropped the fund, because this was his idea, let us remember, Trump suggested it was because a radical left judge ruled against it.
True. Well, that's what he said. It was true. I mean, I think it's interesting because the Senate, at this morning, is going to vote on the funding for the ICE and CBP, and it is in a vote-orama context. So anyone can introduce an amendment, and they will vote on that amendment. It's very likely that they will vote to completely not fund such a thing. So that, it's in the legislators' hands right now.
What about that line of "I'll check with the lawyers"?
He didn't want to take responsibility. That's what it says to me.
You know, first of all, can I criticize his criticism of poor Caitlin Collins at CNN? I mean, the woman can't ask any questions without getting berated by him. And he especially attacks female reporters. And really, the rest of the White House press corps needs to stand up and say, you got to stop doing this. Perfectly legitimate question. You know, call me skeptical that this is not going to happen. They're just going to find another way to get money to these people. I mean, I heard January 6th defendants yesterday saying that, we're going to get our money some other way, they're telling us. And so maybe this grand gesture of a 1776 fund may go away because the optics are not good, but they're going to give money. And let's not forget that Trump is still wanting the immunity, no harm, no foul from the IRS.
Yeah.
People are saying that's just a backward glance and then not going forward. But I'm thinking he's going to get whatever he wants out of this.
That was the addendum. That wasn't even a part of their original plan. That came a day later. And so it's still up in the air.
Yeah, I think that's how Trump plays politics, though. It's still all about him. It always has been all about him. And what's interesting from a political standpoint, though, is that he seems perfectly content to rule over a smaller and smaller party. This fund won't fly this summer when candidates go home.
They're already seeing
free beer and pizza don't poll as well as opposition to this fund. In almost every district. So I think the optics here and the real politics are something that he doesn't care about. And it's going to be interesting with a lot of these lame duck Republicans seek retribution against the retribution actor.
Well, and I don't know, this is somewhat anecdotal, but as the primary results were coming in on Tuesday, Republicans who were out in the trenches running for these various seats across the country said that this was an issue that kept coming up, and they were pushing it away. And obviously that's only going to intensify as you go to the midterms.
Right. Does it have legs, as we say, this issue? If it goes away, it may well go away. But I still believe that he is going to find another way for this to happen. I heard a congressperson being interviewed today who said, it cost me $200,000 in legal fees to defend myself against something that happened to him during the Biden administration, and he wants to get his money back. And so there are Congress people in Congress who have paid out some money for legal fees. They're angling for some money as well. So this is not going away. There's going to be some payback somewhere along the way.
$2,500 is what we need right now to get to our goal. We are halfway there, folks. 1-800-323-9262. We have 20 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. In case you have just joined us, Anonymous of Saugerty said, all right, one for one match. I'll give up to $5,000 if you can raise $5,000 by 10 o'clock this morning. We started about at 780, 425. We are now at 782, 981. Do the math, $2,502. So, everybody, do what they can. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. WAMC.org. If you'd like to do it through a device, that is certainly great. 1-800-323-9262. The important thing is that we hear from you and we get every dollar that we can for this one-for-one match from Anonymous from Saugerties. 1-800-323-9262. 18 minutes to go. Let's make it happen.
You know, there's a bill, or the Democrats are pushing a bill to put a stake in the heart of this thing. I think it was Mitch McConnell, or maybe it was John Cornyn, was saying we should put a stake in the heart of this bill. No. There's a bill that's being proposed that would call on, which permanently kill this thing, but it's not getting the traction that you would think. You know, it's like a negative bill. So to put people on record, I think so much in Congress is putting people on the record so they can have to go forward and defend it to their constituents. It's totally unpopular, but again, Republicans tend to get their courage when they don't have anything to lose.
And the other thing, too, is that it just seems to me that you have to defend it even if you don't do it on the record, because if you're supporting the president, if you're saying, you know, there's just so many ways you can answer the question of should this fund happen or not. Mm-hmm. And if you don't come up with an answer, or, you know, like some Republican legislators, you just go silent for
3 months.
3 months. I don't know how you get.
MAGA people think that this is okay. I mean, I see on social media people going, yeah, this is right. These guys were just expressing their First Amendment ability to express their opinions at the Capitol that day. There's total support for this among a small group of MAGA supporters. So,
right.
And I think he's okay with just ruling that group.
There is some concern, I think, among those Republicans who are still serious about democracy in the country, that not only looking backwards is this bad politically, but looking forward, that it's a dog whistle for mob activity in the future, a paid, you know, a subcontracted mob.
Right.
For the midterm elections.
You do what I tell you to do, and when I call upon you, I will...
You'll make money.
I will make you right.
I will pardon you.
I will pardon you, and you will do the my bidding and the work of this country.
Yeah, right. I do think there's some legitimate fear about that in Republican circles. Mm. And, you know, this administration has, in both terms, has ruled by chaos theory. But I think we're seeing chaos theory run amok, and it's become impossible for this president to coordinate all of this activity that he seems to want to have simultaneously without any thought. And I think other Republicans are starting to take some kind of measure of that and realize that they're probably are going to pay for this in the midterms in a serious way, and that the economy is not being addressed. This war is dragging on. Who knows what we're going to bomb in the Caribbean? Gas prices are over $5 a gallon. All this stuff is just political rot for a party, and the president seems aloof.
Tom Friedman in the New York Times said that this is, above all, none of this is sustainable for much longer.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, I mean, we've been through this for, what, 10 years? It just, you know, you do wonder if that is indeed the case. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up, we'll give you an update. Right now we're at $2,100, so that's good. 1-800-323-9262. Be better if we didn't have any, but we'll take that. $2,000 to go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Everybody on a phone, do what you can. We'll be right back after this. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262, $1,800 to go in our challenge. This is a one-for-one match, $5,000, and we got this match from Anonymous from Saugerties, who said, hey, you make $5,000, I'll give you $5,000, but it's a one-for-one match. So if you get $2,500, I'll give you $2,500. Well, obviously, we want all five. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Right now, we are at $783,795. Which means we have $1,630 to go. We have 11 minutes to do it in. Yeah. We need you. 1-800-323-9262. We are not asking for $100, but just to make this really easy, if 16 people right now called with a $100 pledge to WAMC, we would have this. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262, 32 people at $50, .. and we'd have it. Whatever you can do. 1-800-323-WAMC, WAMC.org. All right. Let's move on. And a final topic for our panel. I am obsessed with this story. Scott Pelley has been fired from CBS. Yesterday, in her first public comments on the firing, Barry Weiss, the CBS news editor, the news editor in chief, said that the longtime correspondent had, quote, broken the trust in the newsroom. He's the problem. Barry Weiss, the CBS news editor in chief, told her newsroom on Wednesday morning that the network fired the 60 Minutes correspondent because a foundation of trust had been broken after he assailed CBS leadership. I'm only interested in working in a newsroom that is built on trust and mutual respect. We cannot do our work without it. And I just feel that I should add that this is after they fired Sharon Alfonsi and another correspondent. So I don't know the respect here of you didn't do what we said we wanted you to do, which was journalistically questionable in December. So now we're going to fire you here and not extend your contract. A 9 a.m. editorial call yesterday, according to a recording that was obtained by the New York Times, Ms. Weiss made these comments. She was referring to this explosive 60 Minutes staff meeting where Mr. Pelley said that Ms. Weiss was murdering 60 Minutes and asserted that Nick Bilton, the tech journalist hired to run the show, would, quote, never be welcome. Despite our attempts to engage with Scott Pelley and to find a way back, unfortunately, we weren't able to do so, and so we had to part ways, Ms. Weiss said. We did not want that to happen, but that's the path that he chose. Although, at the end, there was a 5 o'clock meeting that took place on, I believe, Tuesday night, and it was basically the question, the options on the table were, are we going to fire you, or are you going to quit? And it ended up being that he was going to be fired. I will also, before I turn this over to our esteemed panel, mention that now a lot of the focus is on Bill Whitaker and Leslie Stahl, two longtime correspondents with 60 Minutes, who have this, do we go because this is not a program that aligns with our journalistic values and what this show has always been, or do we stay and fight it because if we go away, it's gone?
So, it seems like they're trying to zombify, you know, 60 Minutes, not exactly murder it, but kind of kill it. And then the Ellison Group will just take control of the shell of 60 Minutes and operate it like a zombie. Apparently there was a meeting of the three remaining correspondents of the seven that started the season last year. They're on 60 Minutes is on summer break now. They don't start up again until September. And the decision about whether or not they will stay, they discussed it. No decision apparently was reached, but the indication was that it was going to. Scott Pelley, of course, knew he was going to get fired. I mean, you can't do that. And obviously it was leaked to the media because that got out to the media. And so he knew that this was going to happen because he saw the writing on the wall. He insists that the management was asking him to insert untruths, lies, into his stories. And he resisted. He didn't go into detail exactly what those lies were and what stories it entailed. But he saw he didn't want any part of it. You know, I, from my perspective, I'm seeing the new management of CBS News looking at 60 Minutes, and, you know, a legacy operation, a well-respected, well-performing show. It always came right after Sunday Night Football, so they had good rating to come into. But you see that just disintegrating before your eyes. But I think they're fine with it. I think they want to get rid of the old dinosaurs. Scott Pelley, yeah, go. I think they'd be happy to see Leslie Stahl go because they bring to the operation the resistance of traditional journalism looking for the truth and not wanting to be managed by upper management.
Bob?
I think this is a clarion call for why we need things like WAMC even more, because this is just the end result of corporate merger, acquisition, and greed. They knew that their licenses were in Trump's hands in many ways. This started, ironically, with Bill Whitaker's interview with Kamala Harris and Trump not liking that and him putting pressure. I mean, the whole basis of this country is for the president not to be able to pressure the news media. And why on earth, unless it is for corporate greed, why on earth would you take the number one news magazine show on the earth and bury it like this? CBS News itself was number one network news, and it's not going to be anymore. The hollowing out of one of the three networks' news division is a death toll for the democratic process.
I also think that when you consider what they did with Late Night and Colbert, what they've done with the anchor, CBS anchor. I mean, you would think they still want to play the game in the sense of, you know, have a company that makes money. We're told over and over again, this is a business. And this seems to be it seems to be more powerful for them to win the ideological argument than it does the financial one. And also, it seems to mirror... And I say this with Tony DiCapolo of the anchor of CBS News, that when you put someone in who doesn't know what they're doing, much like some people within the administration perhaps, that is, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Having worked with not just Scott Pelley, of course, who's kind of like the marquee, but the incredibly intelligent and honorable people who back up that news organization around the world, who really are interested in getting to the real story. The fact that those people will also be departing along, you know, if Leslie Stahl or anyone else decides to go, is really disturbing, because that's the backbone of a serious news organization. And not to have that, not, you know, it's wonderful that we have WAMC to have this kind of locally based, interested commentary. But if you don't have that on a national scale, it's really, really bad.
This is the home of Murrow and Cronkite.
I know.
I mean, the dismantling of this news organization is a national tragedy.
And let's not forget that CBS, ABC, NBC, the PBS, WAMC are things people can access for free. And it, as we move closer to this age where everything is streaming and it costs money, I worry that even with AI, people who can afford good AI search engines will get better sources of news than people without it. And so free information, again, is so crucial to our democracy, because not everybody can afford that cable news or that streaming service. And the fact that you could get it free over the airways is so essential to us.
We are out of time. I am pleased to report that we have met our match, which is Woo-hoo. Great.
Where's that bell? Ding, 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 ding.
I heard you with the bell last week.
I know.
You seemed like you had fun. I hope so. I hope so. If not, just grab it off the desk. We won't be needing it. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. My thanks to Bob Brigham, Donna Welton, and Judy Patrick. We'll continue the our community partnership. The roundtable will continue. We will have our community partnership segment with our dear, dear friend Natasha Pernicka, and we will do all of that after this.